Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about staying cool during summer sex, whether you should stay friends with your ex, and why great sex life is all about compromise. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. Check out everything we have at sexwithemily.com, and you can also follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I am there if you're there, so we can hang out. Follow me. Love hearing from you. And today's show, I'm going to be answering your emails, which I love doing, helping you all have better sex and relationships. But first, I got some sex in the news to talk to you about. First one is a article that came out, Should You Stay Friends with an Ex? What do you guys think about that? I've always been a big fan of staying friends with my ex. Now, not the exes that were, you know, that ended badly, or the exes who, you know, stole your credit card and blew up your car and stuff like that. Like, you know, stalked you. It's okay to have a distance, or maybe if you got a restraining order against them. No, you don't have to stay friends with those. But people just assume that, like, well, I could never handle it, or you know, maybe we just have to never see each other again. And I think in some cases, you can't be friends right away, typically. You don't become best friends the next day. That's not realistic. You still have feelings tied to that romance and those emotions, and also the chemistry might still be there. But I think personally, if you're attracted to someone enough to be in a relationship, or you care about them and you actually love them, that I think if you are both mature emotional adults, you might be able to get to a way where you actually could just salvage the friendship and be friends for life. In fact, a lot of my exes are my friends for life. So the article breaks down that, you know, obviously if it wasn't abusive, manipulative, or toxic, you probably don't want to stay friends with those people. But and also if you had a strong connection and a really strong love affair and a very erotic life, it can be harder to kind of transition right into being in a relationship if you still have feelings for them. I think that you can actually be friends with an ex if you're doing it with the right intention. So if you're, it's kind of like the friends with benefits thing. If you're like, oh no, we really are just friends with benefits, I don't want anything more, and you do, you know how that's going to end. Not very well. So if you're still staying friends with an ex because you think, I'll play the friend card, but I hope that they're just going to spend enough time with me, or I'll be with them enough that we're going to fall back in love again. That is not a real friendship. That's like a fake friendship with your ex. The ones that I think that are really deep and that work actually do take work. Sometimes you have to like work on some things from the past, You know, it's interesting. There was a story in here that from someone who I thought was very inspiring. A writer in Vermont named Robin said she burned all of her relationships to the ground and wasn't friends with any of her exes. But in pursuit of her own personal growth, she reached out to her ex-partners. She apologized for past transgressions and tried to reclaim the relationship they'd shared for years. And so, you know, and what she says is a huge chunk of her life is co-owned by this person, and those pieces of her were missing and she wanted to reclaim it. So she said to them, can we repair this relationship? Which I think is healthy. If you've ever, you know, moved past a relationship, but you kind of can't get it out of your mind. You're like, I wish I didn't behave that way, or things went differently. I think it's totally okay to circle back and repair. I think all relationships do really well with repair. And I can think of very few, unless there's something serious or jail time, where you can't actually repair things, even if it's just a phone call. So I also think that, say, there are some partners who might be triggered also by the fact that if you're like, oh, I'm best friends with my ex, which I used to make the mistake of doing that because I actually was best friends with my exes, and still am. But when people hear that, a lot of people just think, oh, that means you still love them. Or, you know, most people don't see that's normal. They don't think that's possible. They think that's kind of crazy. So you have to be, I think, careful with a new partner and just let them know, like, yes, this person is your ex, but we have a really, you know, meaningful friendship. I can't wait for you to meet them. You're really going to like them. So just kind of having a mysterious ex floating out there that your new partner doesn't know, that can also kind of wreak havoc on a relationship. Finally, I also think it's important, you guys, you got to set boundaries. It's important if you are couples turn into friends, how the boundary could be like, you know, let's not text, let's not talk every day, let's build this again slowly and still ask them. Like right now, it's funny, my boyfriend and my ex from a few years ago, we actually all are friends, but I actually had to say to him once early on, the ex, I mean, like, are you cool with this? Like, are you cool if I bring my boyfriend to this place? Like, oh yeah, I want to meet him. And then instantly they're friends. So I think it's okay. We all know that it's this. I'm not saying this is easy for everybody, but I'm also saying kind of think about it, because if there are people you want in your life from your past and you'd like to bring them back, I just want you guys to know that it is possible. It is possible to still have a loving, supportive relationship with an ex. If you do it right, with compassion and with truth. Okay, there's a new study that shows sex gives meaning to life. So what gives meaning to life? This is a question that has been debated at least since the days of the ancient Greek philosophers. The discussion is centered on the question of which is more important for fulfilling life, pleasures of the body or pleasures of the mind. Well, according to a psychologist who did the study, he says that it's true when it comes to questions of sexuality in everyday life. There's still an undercurrent of Puritanism in North America, and this is reflected in the kind of studies funding agencies are willing to finance and journal editors are willing to publish. But I think that there's a lot of studies that are on sexuality. A lot of them focus on the negative and how they're going to mess us up with intimacy and sexual abuse and all of that. But what he did in his study, he looked at the positive aspects of sexuality, and he asked the question, does engaging in sexual activity lead to an increased sense of meaning in life? They conducted a time-lagged analysis. That is, they considered whether sexual activity on one day was correlated with a positive mood and sense of fulfillment on the next day, and it was. Then they looked at whether positive mood and sense of meaning on day one predicted sexual activity on day two. It did not. So what this means is the time-lagged analysis suggests that having sex leads to a positive mood and a sense of fulfillment that continues into the next day. So I really believe that, especially if it's been a while and you're like, it's just hard to get back out there and do it. I really believe, and I hear this from people all the time, my listeners, my friends are like, God, things were tense in our relationship and I realized we just hadn't had really great sex in a while. So if you're like withholding and you think you're past that point, you're really mad at your partner, I say like, get out of the house, take a vacation this summer, even if it's for a night, and have more sex. Because the more sex you have, apparently you're going to have more happy and fulfilling sex lives. So one of the final things that I liked about this study is it's very consistent with a lot of studies we see today about happiness and life fulfillment, and that is meaningful social relationships are absolutely essential for a sense of well-being and purpose in life. I'm telling you, studies I'm reading on health and really a lot of them are on happiness and what does it mean when you have a great life and what do people on their deathbed talk about as the greatest, most fulfilling, satisfying things. It always comes back to the quality of your relationships. The quality of your your relationships determines the quality of your life. Okay, and finally, you guys, this is the how to have better sex this summer portion of the show. I feel like I talk about this. I've mentioned this on different shows. Summer sex, it's funny because when I first started doing Sex with Emily, I remember every single year we got a summer sex, you know, from Cosmo or from different, you know, magazines, newspapers. People always, you know, want to know what is a secret to great summer sex. And so I thought, you know what? I don't know that I covered this last summer or how much lately I have, but since summer is a great time to have really hot sex, we're on vacation, maybe we're not working as much, we're more relaxed, I thought you should brush up on your best summer sex skills. So let me give some of these to you. So first thing, these are just some tips. You can, even if you just take one of these, I will be so happy and so will you. All right. Chill your sex toys. Glass and ceramic toys can be warmed up or cooled down for added sensation. So when there's a heat wave, you just might want to cool them down. You can stick your toys in the fridge, not the freezer, unless you want a freezer burn and those awkward trips to the emergency room that might end up on a TV show, or dip them in a glass of ice water before you use. Make sure your toys are waterproof before you do that, obviously. Now, I was thinking about that's interesting because a lot of my favorite toys, the Wee Vibe Tango, I'm putting that baby in the freezer. Like, why not? That bullet, you guys, that, if you guys don't have, I don't know if I've talked about, I feel like I've been giving a lot of love to the Touch, the Wee Vibe Touch, which is like, I mean, it's asking me like to choose my favorite child, which one I love. But the Tango is just this, like, I'm going to Greece, you guys, I'm bringing the Tango. It's a bullet, it's powerful, it's waterproof. I'm going to put it in the freezer, and it's just the strongest, cutest little bullet you ever did see. No one even knows it's a vibrator. Okay, so do that, or do it with any toys, or do it with your dildos. Pop some ice in your mouth for oral sex. I like this idea for any season, but especially in the heat wave, if you are sweating your ass off, and I remember this in Michigan, those really, really hot summer nights, we didn't have air conditioning, and we just had fans, and you're dripping like hot sweat. I wish I knew about the ice cube trick. Have ice cubes by the bed in a jar, in a bowl. You can like put one in your mouth and you can like trace it over your partner's body, trace it along there. You know, you can put it in your mouth, use it while you're licking and sucking your partner. You can use it really everywhere. You take your hands and drape it over their body or your mouth, or just kiss each other with an ice cube. I mean, and for oral sex, you guys, have it in your mouth for oral. Okay. Enough said. Just try it. Let me know how it goes. I think you're going to be happy. This is a great one, you guys. Put sheets in the fridge. I never thought about this. This is new to me. So I guess people in Spain often keep their bed sheets in the fridge so sliding under a blanket doesn't feel so hellish. It gets hot there. Really hot. It gets hot here too. So as sexy as satin and silk sheets are, if they're sticking to your body, that's not so hot. So I love the idea. I remember I used to flip over my pillow and that would make it a little cooler because it was so freaking hot in Michigan. So I think putting in the freezer, brilliant. Play with some new positions. If you are just totally against all that sticky, sweaty, and I want nobody to touch me right now, missionary might feel a little bit suffocating. So doggy style. Doggy style is great for using toys, using your hands. You get some extra clitoral stimulation. Plus, doggy style gives you enough space from each other and you can still have the hot sex. For foreplay, maybe just stick to oral. I'd be fine with that if you think it's too hot for making out and kissing. But I don't know. I mean, I guess I forget what it's like to be just in suffocating heat. But I, you know, really, if you go right to oral, everyone wins. And shower sex. You know, I've talked a lot about shower sex. If you haven't seen one of my favorite videos I did in 2018 with Jamie, producer Jamie, it was our shower sex video. We had sex in the shower and it's on Instagram. I think you will love it. We didn't actually have sex. We talked about sex in the shower, which is a really cool line of products from Sport Sheets. But I know you guys, you think sex in the shower is always going to be amazing. And the truth is, it's not. Someone could fall, they could slip, they could end up in the emergency room. And like, what positions feel right? You still need lube. Can you get pregnant? There's all these things that make it challenging. So I think you can, number one, stick to oral sex in the shower. Like, you don't have to go through the whole thing just because you say, let's go in the shower and get cooled off, or you can still just like make out and do oral and then kind of, you know, go back into the bed. You could also try one of the Sport Sheets sex in the shower things that have suction controls and handles that are really easy. They stick to your shower and you can hold on to it. They have a foot brace and a handle, and they even have a vibrating mesh sponge. It has a little vibrator on it and it's really cool. You can choose some cooling lube. So there's lots of lubes out there that have a cooling effect. There's also nipple balms that are really cooling. I think that Joe has some cooling stuff. Go to sexwithemily.com/Joe because I know they have some good cooling lubes and stimulators and things like that. So that's my sex advice for you guys for the summer. Let me know if I missed anything here. Let me know what your tips are through getting through a hot summer. I'm going to answer your emails right now. And thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. And I'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Okay, everyone, we are on to answering your email questions. I love hearing from you. So you can text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. And fill out the short form, or you can also go to my website, sexwithemily.com, and click the Ask Emily tab. As always, include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Okay, this is from Sarah, 29, Florida. Hey, Emily, I've been masturbating for a long time, but I've never used a vibrator. I really want to start using more toys with sex and masturbation, but I wonder if using a vibrator to climax, will it be the same without one? I do use my hands to touch myself a lot, and I really like it, but a vibrator, I'm sure, would feel amazing. I'm just afraid of it not feeling good with just my hand after getting used to a vibrator. Is this true at all? Sarah, I think this is such a great question. Let me tell you why. There are a lot of people who are like, oh, no, I don't need a toy, or like, that's a gateway to I don't know what. But I understand you articulated this very well. You're wondering, will I ever go back to my hand? Will I ever go back to masturbating without a toy? And I think that is a choice. I think that it's great that you know how to touch yourself, you know, with your fingers, and you can move to orgasm. And I think you'll always be able to have an orgasm with your hands and even enjoy it. So I think the thing about a vibrator is I don't think there's any inferior kinds of orgasms, or like it's like cheating if you use a vibrator. I just think it's cool to try out what vibrator feels like versus your hands. I don't think that there's one that's better than the other. I think that sometimes with the vibrator, it's a sure thing. Like it maybe for some women, it's faster. You can move in different places. Your finger simply does not vibrate, and it's a really cool sensation. But it's just really just a different, you know, path to pleasure, not necessarily like superior or inferior. And you could always just start with trying a vibrator out if you're interested, and then maybe end with your hands or vice versa, or use a vibrator one time and use your hands next time. And they're also really fun to use, you know, when you're having sex with a partner. So I just think this whole like, am I numb? Am I addicted to my vibrator? Just like everything, it's a choice. So if you feel like yourself, like anything, you get, it's moderation. So if you're like, I'm using the vibrator every time and that's it, and only during sex, you know, I'm not going to judge you. If you don't have a problem with it, that's fine. But if you feel like, no, I'd like to moderate it, I'd like to still use my hands and, you know, kind of use my, which you always, I think, should use your hands. There's a lot of great places to explore, but yeah, I don't think you need to worry about it. Again, I'm telling you what you need to know, and you have the choice. And the WeVibe Tango, speaking of which, would not be a bad first vibrator. Just because what I was about to say about the Tango earlier was that it reminds me of the first vibrator I had, which was also a bullet vibe. It was the Doc Johnson Pocket Rocket. And it had, batteries to it. And this was like when they first came out, the Tango, they were like, oh, it's like a souped up bullet. And it really, it truly sticks to its name. So I think that's a great starter toy. Okay, this is from Rachel, 22, in Miami. Hi, Emily. So in the current year, I've caught about 3 UTIs. I'm prone to frequent UTIs. I've taken the antibiotics before, and a few days later, my UTI always comes back. Ugh. Whenever my boyfriend and I have sex, I'm always worried I'll catch another one. So lately, the way I've been dealing with it is by drinking tons of water, peeing before and after sex, and taking over-the-counter meds to cope with the discomfort, and I'm usually able to fight it off. But every now and then, there's no avoiding the inevitable. Please help me, Emily. I'm desperate. I don't want sex to become a chore. I want to be able to enjoy sex with my boyfriend and not dread the results. Well, this is actually common, Rachel. I've heard from women, like, having chronic UTIs is actually a thing. So definitely go to your doctor if you have not. And if you saw your doctor and they were like, you know, hey, no problem, then I think get a second opinion if you don't feel like you got sufficient information. Because I'm going to assume you haven't seen your doctor because you might already, they might have already told you. What I'm going to tell you is that there are treatments for it. And it could be signs of other things. So a woman who gets frequent, you know, UTIs and chronic infections could mean that there's an indication of something else going on, that you're not able to clear the bacteria. You might have other symptoms as well. And like the antibiotics just might not be working with you anymore. And actually, the studies say that 26 to 44% of females with their first UTI will experience a second one within 6 months. And that periods of reoccurrence last 1 to 2 years before the infection ceases. So if it's only been like 2 years, you might be in okay window. But I think it's important to get tested, and doctors might not always have the resources that they need. Another thing is interstitial cystitis. And that's something you would talk to your doctor about. Get your urine cultured. There can be a lot of women who do have it and kind of at first it, for like a year or two, and then it passes and others don't. So I think, again, go to your doctor, get some more information. I'm sure you're probably fine. I love that you're drinking water and doing all those things, but talk to a doctor and see what they say. So thank you, Rachel. Moises, 24, New Jersey. Hey, Emily, I've been with my girlfriend for 6 years and sexually we are great. I love everything about her and I try to be spontaneous with her. The thing is, she loves shower sex or showering together in general. We used to do it at the beginning, but I never enjoyed it that much. The sex was good, but uncomfortable. I'm 6'3", so that's one of my issues. Also, I don't like to share the shower. To me, the shower is my place to think and relax and let the water run for a while on my head. I want her to be happy, but I don't know how to compromise. Do I just settle and do what she wants? Comments? Thanks in advance. I love the podcast. Summertime, shower sex, tis the season. So shower together sometimes, you know, but not always. This really is about compromise. And I understand at the beginning of a relationship, we all pretend to like things that we don't, or we give things a second chance because we really like the person. So I understand that, as long as it doesn't go on for too long. Like, oh, for 6 years I was having shower sex. But you did it at the beginning. I understand that. Here's a few options. Compromise. You don't do it all the time. You can start out together and then let her leave so you can have your alone time. And also, just bottom line, let her know your thoughts on it. Tell her that you actually thought about this because you know how much she loves shower sex, and there's nothing more than you love, like that you love than pleasing her, and that you sometimes just kind of like to be alone in the shower because it makes you a better human, because you have these thoughts and you get to work on yourself. And you might know that that sounds weird, but hey, you know, and it actually is, there's actually studies around this that people have their most creative ideas in the shower. So I understand what you're saying. Like, there's times, and I have a double head shower at my house, and there's times where I'm like, really? I just kind of want to shower alone. Not many times, to be honest, because a double shower does kind of kick ass, but I get it. So let her know that you need your space sometimes, but you love being with her. You can also try sex in the shower. I mentioned earlier from Sports Sheets, kind of makes it fun and makes it less uncomfortable because she can elevate herself. She can put her foot up. Like, you'll see what I mean if you go to our website or you go to sportsheets.com/Emily. You're going to understand what I mean. There's a lot of different things to help you enhance your shower. what I have found with these conversations around sex we're all trying to have, I think we assume it's going to be horrible and our partner's going to hate us. But I can tell you that the more honest you are and the more open you are about, you know, what you really feel and what you really want while still like letting your partner know how much you love them, that you're going to end up both getting what you really love and want. I promise you this, Moises. So you should still have your shower time and eat it too. This is from Lori, 35 in California. Hey, Emily, I just started listening to your show because my husband has been listening to you for quite some time. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I've never been spontaneous when it comes to the bedroom, but my husband has introduced me to vibrators, dildos, and porn. Whenever he goes down on me, I don't ever want to kiss him. Is that normal? I'm also scared to try anal. We've tried it a little, but as soon as I feel the pain, I pull away. Tips. Okay, Lori, this is a great question because there are so many women listening now just nodding their heads going, oh my God, I feel exactly the same way. So, first of all, I love that your husband's listening to the podcast. Clearly, if he's bringing vibrators, dildos, and porn, he's been listening and taking some good notes. I understand, though, your husband's feelings about not wanting to kiss him after he goes down on you. I'm going to assume you don't want to kiss him because you just kind of find it gross or kind of unsanitary, or you think like, why would I want to kiss myself if he's got the taste of me in his mouth? But he might find that sexy as, and I think once you do it, you're going to get over it and not really be so concerned with that it's a thing. You could also each take a sip of water. I mean, I still do that. Like, I'm just thirsty after oral, giving or receiving. So maybe having a glass of water by the bed always, which I do, might kind of help that for you. You can have mints or you can have mouthwash by the bed. I think that's what you can do there. And I think like, just kind of try it. It's your husband, you're with him, you're exchanging fluid, it's your own fluids. Like, there's no safety precautions here. So I think it's more about you kind of moving past it and trying it, and then, or also compromising and letting him know that it'd be better if he had a drink of water or had a mint. As far as the anal, so many women have been in your position. So many people have been in your position who have an anus and someone's tried to put something in it too fast, too quick, without enough lube. So there's very specific things to anal that you need every single time. First of all, if you've never had it, he needs to go slow and probably just start with making sure that you're super turned on, you're warmed up, maybe he's gone down on you, maybe you even have had sex. Anal's not the kind of thing for beginners that you want to start out as the appetizer. Like, you just don't. Like, I think that anal comes when you're kind of more warmed up. You just don't want to dive right into anal because it's important to maybe already have an orgasm, to be really relaxed, and to use lots of lube and go slow. So he could start with just a finger or a butt plug, slowly using a butt plug, because, you know, it can be kind of scary if you've never had even had that sensation. So even testing with his pinky finger, moving it slowly, and then moving his way up. The thing about it is you really just want to breathe. So when something is being inserted, like whether it's a finger or whether it's his penis, you want to first take a deep breath in, and then when he inserts, you let go, you exhale. And that kind of allows it to move in with a little easier. And just to keep up the communication, make sure that you're not tensing up, because whenever something moves to our anus, we tense up because we're like nervous it's going to hurt. And then guess what? It hurts. So the reason why it probably hurt you is because you probably did the thing that a lot of us would do. We would tense up. So I think trying to slow down, use lube, use some fingers, and to kind of let him know. Oh, if he's listening, maybe he already knows. So why not try it and go at your own pace? Thank you, Lori. On the other hand, we've got a semen question. This is from Adam, 26 in Australia. Hey, Emily, my girlfriend and I have been going out for 3 years, and I would like to know the best way to go about performing oral sex with my girlfriend after I have finished in her. In the past, I told her that an ex told me to drink my own semen, which I did, and my girlfriend laughed at me. She also said that she hates to swallow semen too. The thought of performing oral sex in her after we both come is such a turn on, but I'm not sure how to go about bringing it up with her, or would it be best if I just did it to see her reaction? Okay, Adam. Okay, you've been together 3 years. She laughed at you once about telling you about the ex. I think time has passed. I'm not sure if you had this conversation at the beginning, but I think first try to do it and see her reaction. It doesn't sound like you've tried and she pushed you away yet. It sounds like you're thinking about all these past reasons of why it's going to be awkward and why she's going to run screaming into the bathroom. So I think if you just kind of go down on her and you just kind of start doing it, slowly and watch her reaction, because I think that she might think it's hot. Also, when you start going down on her because you're still just so turned on and you want to keep going, again, that's really hot. And I don't think it's about you wanting to drink your own semen, which is cool if it is too. I think that there are guys that get off on that. So either way, even if she brings it up or she shoots up, she's like, you have a semen thing. Just like, no, babe, I just think it's really hot to like keep making you come. Like, that has to be all that you say. Unless, you know, you want to talk more about you, that you do like semen or whatever it is. She is your girlfriend. You got to be honest with it. Honest with all of this stuff. So she doesn't like semen. If she doesn't like semen, she doesn't necessarily have to ingest it. I think that she could, you know, I guess she could get put in her mouth and she could like spit it out. She could, the whole spitting versus swallow thing. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of women who kind of assume they don't like it, or again, just like anal, they had a bad semen experience. But this is not something that you want to force on her. But when people say they hate to swallow semen, I'm always wondering, like, just what happened? Like, was something bad? Did someone force you to do it? But yeah, I don't know. I guess it's also the taste for people. It's not for everybody. So if she doesn't like it, you really can't force her into it. But just like these other things where I think she might be cool with you going down on her after you come inside of her, she might get there where she does like semen. But if she doesn't, hopefully she's still going down on you and giving you lots of pleasure, that I wouldn't necessarily trip on it. If she's not performing oral sex, I'm hoping she's performing oral sex and everything else is great. And here's what I've also found. Couples who get closer together, they really like have these, not just like try crazy things in the bedroom, but couples who have really real intimate conversations about sex, they tend to kind of shed their beliefs about what they used to think was possible with sex. So maybe she hates to swallow semen. Once you guys get more intimate and vulnerable together and talk about sex, which is what I wish for every couple, she might be like, you know what? I thought I hated it, but I feel really safe with you and maybe I'll try it again. Or maybe I, you know, people who think they never want to try anal or they never feel comfortable being on top. But there's a lot of ways that our sex lives change once we start to actually develop real intimacy with somebody, meaning just honest communication and connection, and come from sex from a place of connection rather than just trying to check things off the box. When we're in a place of like, yeah, with someone where we're safe and comfortable and talking about sex, you'd be surprised at where your sex life will go. Oh, the places your sex life will go. So thank you, Adam, for that question. Thank you, everybody, for your questions today. I love hearing from you. I love you all. I hope you're having an awesome summer and lots of amazing sex and relationships, and most importantly, self-love, because I love you all and I love my amazing team. Thank you, Ken, volunteer Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.